This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Thanks everyone for the opportunity to speak on this today. So I'm going to be speaking to current standards of care in metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer, a big topic to try to cover in 10 minutes, but I'll do my best. So I wanted to just begin by defining some of the terms that are central here. So the term metastatic means prostate cancer that has spread outside of the pelvis. Within metastatic, we break this down even further into polymetastatic or oligometastatic. Poly meaning an extensive spread, many metastases, as opposed to oligometastatic, which means relatively limited spread. The definition here varies across trials, but generally speaking, approximately 5 metastases, somewhere in there. The other term to define is hormone sensitive. This is referring to prostate cancer that can be controlled with medications that reduce testosterone alone. So there was an entire session on this earlier with Dr. Hope, but I think that this is worth reiterating before I launch into talking about treatment modalities. There have been novel imaging techniques that are beginning to blur the line between what is oligo and what is polymetastatic prostate cancer. The clinical trials that have been done thus far over the past decades that define what we do as standard of care today were based on conventional imaging. So patients who are getting bone scans and then anatomical imaging, meaning CT or MRI, that have been around for a long time to define oligo and poly. So we now have novel imaging modalities. We have, for example, choline and fluciclovine PET scans that identify prostate cancer based on metabolic features of the tumor. And then of course, PSMA PET scans identifying prostate cancer based on the presence of a protein called prostate-specific membrane antigen. And so these are highly sensitive and are allowing us to pick up much higher burdens of disease on imaging when previously we would never have known that those areas of disease were present. The question is, how do we incorporate those findings into what we do for clinical practice? Because as I said before, what we do is defined by clinical trials that really were based upon patients getting conventional imaging. So we do need more trials to help us understand how to implement these novel imaging techniques. So here's an outline of the treatments I'm going to be speaking to today. First is going to be the current standard of care, which is intensified ADT. For metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. I'll speak a little bit about triplet therapy and also the potential applications of local therapies in this setting. So beginning with intensified ADT, starting with the definition of ADT or androgen deprivation therapy, these are medications that disrupt the signal from the brain to other tissues in the body, instructing those tissues to produce testosterone. Highlighted here in the figure, that's GnRH. So we're talking about medications that disrupt GnRH signaling. These may be injectable or oral medications, and the ultimate outcome of these is to reduce testosterone in the body to undetectable or near undetectable levels, because testosterone truly is the fuel for the fire that allows prostate cancer to grow and spread. So prior to 2014, ADT alone would have been considered a standard of care for treating metastatic prostate cancer. As you can see in this slide, since that time, there have been a host of clinical trials that tell us that intensifying ADT, meaning adding an additional agent such as chemotherapy or a novel hormone agent, is better than ADT alone. Each of these trials has shown that men live longer when we combine ADT with something. So again, to reiterate, this is referred to as intensified ADT. It's now a standard of care for men with metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. And these combinations may be ADT plus chemotherapy like docetaxel or other novel oral medications that disrupt testosterone signaling. With respect to those individual doublet regimens, we've never had a trial that have compared any of those to head-to-head, be it ADT plus chemo, be it ADT plus a novel hormone therapy. Here on the slide is an example of one called abiraterone. We don't know that one is better than the other. And so the way this decision is made is in collaboration between a patient and provider, taking into account things like side effect profile, patient's comorbidities, and interpreting smaller trials and studies that have been done that help us understand some of the nuance of these agents. So next I'm going to speak to triplet therapy. This would be ADT plus a novel hormone therapy plus chemo, and some of the questions that have been left unanswered by trials to date. There have been a few trials investigating triplet therapies. I wanted to highlight one of them called Arisense. So this was a trial where they took patients with metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer and randomized them to receive either ADT plus docetaxel, which is a chemotherapy, plus placebo, or ADT plus docetaxel plus darolutamide, which is a novel testosterone-suppressing agent. And so on the left, I'm showing one of the panels of their results. These are survival curves. And so the orange curve that you see in that plot are the patients who receive the darolutamide, and the green curve are patients who receive the placebo. And again, both of these groups also got ADT and docetaxel. And what this figure on the left is showing is that the patients who got the docetaxel had a higher likelihood of being alive at 40 months post-randomization. So the patients in that group appeared to do better. From a survival standpoint. And then the panel on the right is what the investigators showed to indicate that there was not a significant increase in the percentage of serious adverse events. There was a numerical increase, as you can see, but it was not found to be statistically significant. So these were encouraging findings for this trial in terms of the triplet regimen. However, there's a key missing piece of information here, because today, the doublet regimen of ADT plus docetaxel isn't necessarily the first go-to regimen or something that's being very commonly recommended currently, as opposed to a doublet regimen that incorporates ADT plus a novel hormone therapy like docetaxel. And that's because of some of the challenges associated with giving chemotherapy, some of the side effect profile, certainly patient interest in receiving chemo. There's some downsides to it. And so the missing arm of this trial were patients who received a doublet regimen for ADT plus darolutamide. And so the question that's left unanswered is, in that scenario, is there a survival advantage to patients being also given chemotherapy? This is what we still don't know. And this is the reason why triplet regimens incorporating chemotherapy and novel hormone therapies in addition to ADT have not been yet widely adopted and being used for every patient. So this is something that remains unanswered. So finally, I just wanted to speak briefly to whether there's a role for local therapies to the prostate, even in patients who have metastatic disease. And the answer for some is yes. Again, there's been a variety of studies looking at this question. I wanted to highlight one, which is the CHARTED study. Here again, the definition of oligo and polymetastatic disease matters. And here in this study, they define high volume disease as patients who had four or more bone metastases, or the presence of any visceral metastases, meaning any organ besides lymph nodes or skeleton. And what the investigators found in this study was that in patients who met the definition of low volume disease, those patients did have a survival benefit to receiving radiation therapy to the prostate, as opposed to those who met the criteria for high volume disease. There wasn't a benefit seen in terms of survival. There's a few asterisks there, however, one being that patients with high volume disease may indeed still benefit from local therapies like radiation or surgery, particularly if they're having symptoms related to urinary obstruction or pain. They could still be helped by local therapies. And then finally, kind of circling back to the beginning of this talk, it matters how we're defining low and high volume disease. We're now in the age where patients are getting PSMA PET scans. We're detecting much more disease. But would someone who would be considered to have high volume disease on a PSMA PET scan perhaps have met criteria for low volume disease based on the CHARTED criteria where they use bone scan and CT? Those patients may indeed still benefit from local therapy to the prostate.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.